This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, Pastor Rick continues in a series called 40 Days of Love. In these lessons, he shows us how to achieve the goals of obedience to Christ and living a life of love on a day-to-day basis. In just a little while, we're going to tell you how you can take the complete audio for this series wherever you go. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Secrets of Lasting Love.
Now, there are three kinds of people in the world. There are the gullible people who believe anything. They trust anything you say. By the way, did you know that the word gullible is not in the dictionary? Really? I'm serious, it's not there. How many believe that? There are the gullible who will fall for anything. There are the cynics who believe nothing. They're skeptical of everything. They are sarcastic. They're cynical. They are untrusting. They are questioning of everything. They believe nothing. They are suspicious. They're the gullible and they're the cynics. And then there are the healthy people. And the healthy people are those who love. And the Bible says love always trusts. Love never stops believing. Love never loses faith. They give people the benefit of the doubt. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think, but don't answer this aloud, but do you think that it is wiser or more foolish to overtrust? If you had to be either a little more to the cynical side or a little bit more to the trusting side, which is the wiser, to be just a little bit more cynical or to be a little bit, maybe to be over-trusting? If you say over-cynical, you're wrong. Because every single psychological study says it's far better to be over-trusting in life than it is to be overly cynical. It's far better to trust too much. This question was studied in numerous studies. Psychology Today magazine reported about an article, Trust and Its Consequences. Dr. Julian Rotter of the University of Connecticut spent years studying the consequences of trust in human behavior, personality development, relationships. And he developed a scale to determine the level of trust in a person's life. And then he compared how trusting a person was with 10 different common behaviors for healthy living. Let me give you a little true or false trust test. Don't say this aloud. True or false? Trusting persons tend to be more gullible. True or false? Number two, true or false? Trusting people tend to have a lower IQ. True or false? Number three, true or false? Trusting people live happier lives. True or false? Gullible is not in the dictionary. The fact is, number one's false, number two false, number three is true. Study after study after study has shown that trusting people are consistently less gullible. Then people don't pull the wool over their eyes, less gullible, they have a higher IQ. The more trusting you are, the higher IQ. Study after study has shown this. And they live much happier lives than cynical, questioning, suspicious people. The fact is, it is always better to trust too much than too little. And the Bible says, and studies have shown, that you are better adjusted psychologically by learning to trust. Now, one of the key evidences of trust, and trust and love go together. As I said, you can't love somebody you don't trust. One of the key evidences of trust is your willingness to give other people a second chance when they blow it. How quickly are you willing to give other people a second chance? When somebody turns you the wrong way or says something about you, so you write them down in your little black book, and they're off my group, I'm never going to that Bible study again, I'm never going to that small group. I'm never going to serve in ministry with that person. You got to watch out for that staff member. You got to be a keep away from that neighbor. Then you're not very trusting. And you're not very loving. Because love gives people a second chance. Anybody who's a coach knows the quickest way to restore confidence after a fumble is give the kid the ball again on the very next play. Otherwise, they start developing a phobia. I'm going to drop it again. I'm going to drop it again. And the way you help a child get over a failure is put trust in him immediately again. And get him started again. Say, here, take the ball on the next play. Sure, you dropped it. Okay, everybody drops the ball. And give it to him again. God says, you want to build a lasting relationship, you're going to have to learn to trust. You say, well, Rick, right now, I can't trust my husband. I can't trust my wife. Then, friend, I recommend you trust God. If you cannot trust your husband or your wife right now, you need to trust God. Because God knows what he's doing. And if you put your trust in God, he can do things that you can't do in your husband or your wife's life. You trust God when you can't trust that person. Because God knows what he's doing. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 55, up here on the screen. God says, I don't think the way you think, and the way you work isn't the way I work. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. God says, I know what I'm doing. Please trust me. Love, whether you're loving God or somebody else, involves trust. The Bible says love never stops believing. And on top of that, God specializes in miracles. And he can transform anything. But what do you need a relationship miracle for? Do you need a miracle in your marriage right now? Do you need a miracle in a friendship? Do you need a miracle with a relationship with a child? Let me just suggest this. God's going to start on you first. Look for the changes in you before you expect the changes in somebody else. The miracle's going to happen first in you. To be trusted is the greatest gift you can give somebody. It is a gift of trust. It is a gift of love. I'll never forget, 29 years ago, I was 25 years old. We were living in Fort Worth, Texas, and God put this crazy idea in my mind. And I told it to Kay. I said, honey, I think God wants us to move from Texas to Southern California, and we're to start a church. Now, here's the problem. We don't have any money. We don't have any members. We don't have any building. We don't have any sponsorship. I don't know anybody in this city. And I've never been a senior pastor before. What do you think? And I'll never forget what my 25-year-old wife said to me. She said, it scares me to death, honey. But I believe in God. And I believe in you. So let's go for it. I've often wondered, how would history be different if my wife, at age 25, had said, no, I'm afraid, I'm scared, let's don't do it. There would be no Saddleback Church. There would be no 120-acre campus. There would be no 20,000 people baptized in the last 10 years and over 100,000 names on the church roll. There would be no purpose-driven life. There would be no peace plan. There would be no 500,000 pastors trained in 162 countries. History would be very, very different. If my wife had said, I don't trust you. I don't believe in you. Women, those of you who are married, your husband is dying for you to say, I trust you. They are craving it. Your husband is craving it. It is more important than saying, I love you. Because when you say, I trust you, you are saying, I love you. Because love always trusts. Who do you need to express trust in this week? To a child? I know you can do it. To your wife? I know you can do it. To believing in somebody? That is what real love is all about. Lasting love extends grace when we blow it. And lasting love expresses faith and says, I trust you. The Bible says this in Galatians 5:6. The only thing that counts, you want to know what counts in life? Here it is. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Why? Because life is a school of learning how to trust and how to love. It extends grace, it expresses faith. There's a third key in this verse. Lasting love expects the best. Lasting love expects the best. It's forward-looking. It's optimistic. It's not stuck in the past. It's not always looking backwards. Lasting love is hopeful. It is forward-looking. It is positive. It is expecting the best. And the Bible says this, love, true love, never stops hoping. Living Bible translation, love always expects the best. Message paraphrase, love always looks for the best. I think it was Elizabeth Barrett Browning, the poet, who said, whoever loves believes in miracles, believes in the impossible. I don't know if you know this or not, but people tend to live up to your expectations of them. We tend to shape the people around us by what we expect of them. Whatever you tend to expect, much or little, people tend to live up to the expectations of other people. And you set people up all the time. You set your husband up by what you expect of him and what you don't expect of him. You set your wife up by what you expect and what you don't expect. You set your children up by what you expect of them and what you don't expect of them. My friend Bruce Wilkinson, who wrote that book, The Prayer of Jabez, years ago was a professor, a new professor at a university in Portland, Oregon, called Multnomah University. And he said that the first time that he went there, the faculty gathered like in the faculty lounge and they were passing out all the class assignments for the year. He was a brand new professor. Somebody looked at the classes Bruce had been given and they said, oh, Bruce, you're a lucky dog. And he said, why? He said, you've been given two of the Section A classes. He said, what's that? He said, Section A are the brightest students in the university. They're the advanced placement. He said, every year we figure out who the kids who had the best test scores coming out of school, and we put them into the Section A classes. And he said, they're a joy to teach. They're smart, they're bright, they're funny, they're engaged, they want to learn. You're going to love having those classes, and you're lucky being a new professor getting Section A in your first year. Bruce said throughout the entire year, he said it was true. He said, I absolutely love teaching those kids. They were so much more fun than the other classes. They were smarter. They were brighter. They asked better questions. They were more intelligent. He said it was a joy to teach the Section A classes. He said at the end of the year, we were gathered in the faculty lounge again waiting for graduation to happen. And I made the comment to my department supervisor, man, I sure hope I get the Section A classes again next year. And the supervisor looked and said, Bruce, there is no Section A. He said, oh, yeah, there is. One of the professors told me, and he said, no, Bruce, we canceled that program 6 years ago. He said, I didn't believe him. So I went back and I got out my grade books, and sure enough, those two classes got more A's than the others. The others had B's and C's. But he said, those two classes had A's. And he said, then I did the ultimate test of a professor. I weighed the term papers. And he said, I held them in both ends. And the stack from the two classes, the A section, were far better. They wrote longer. They wrote more. They put more into it than the others. He said, I had set them up with my expectations. I set them up. I expected them to be better. And they were. Friend, who are you setting up? You can set people up with your nagging, which takes them down. Oh, you always do this. What? When you say you always do this, all you're doing is guaranteeing the perpetuation of the past. You need to remove that from your vocabulary. You always do this. What are you doing? You are labeling, you're setting them up for failure. Don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. That's love. Love always expects the best. Love does not nag. Love says, I see what you could become. I see what you're becoming. I believe in you. I expect the best. So who are you programming with your expectations? You don't change bad people into good people by telling them they're bad. Which is, by the way, why I never preach that kind of message here. It doesn't work. What I talk about is what God sees us and what we could become. Whatever you want the people in your life to become, treat them the way you want them to become, not the way they are. Guys, you want your wife to treat you like a king? Treat her like a queen. It's real simple. Real simple. Treat her like a queen. Emphasize the positive. Forget the nagging. Tell it like it is? No. Tell it like it can be. Visualize potential. Start expecting the best from them. There's a family, I think, in our church who went over to Chili's after one of the services, and the waitress was real kind, and the little boy was sitting there, and she came up and said, "And what would you like, sir?" And she began to take his menu down, and when she walked away, he said, "Mommy, she treated me like I was a human." You know what kills love, friends? I used to do marriage counseling. I don't do anymore. But what kills marriage is not hate. And what kills marriage is not discord. And it's not differences. What kills marriages is neglect. It's neglect. You stop doing the loving things that you did to woo the person, and now that you've won them, you stop doing it. And you don't treat them that nicely anymore, and it is neglect. If I knew it was the last time I'd see you fall asleep, I'd tuck you in more tightly and pray your soul to keep. If I knew it was the last time I'd see you out the door, I'd hug and kiss you one more time and call you back for more. If I knew it was the last time I'd get to share your day, I know that I'd make certain it didn't slip away. We assume we'll have tomorrow to correct an oversight, that we'll always have another chance to make everything all right. There will always be another day to say that I love you. There will always be another chance to ask, what can I do? But just in case I might be wrong, and today is all I get, I want to say that I love you so that you will not forget. Tomorrow is not promised that we'll see another night. Today could be my last chance to love and hold you tight. Instead of waiting for tomorrow, show your love somehow. For if tomorrow never comes, you'll wish you'd done it now. That you didn't take the extra time for a smile, a hug, or a kiss. Instead, you were busy, too busy for the one that you now miss. Hold your loved one close today. And whisper in their ear, tell them that you love them and why you hold them dear. Say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. You're the best. It's okay. So if tomorrow never comes, you'll not regret today. You know the old song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Well, God's love is the only force that can ever get us out of the mess we're in today.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, if you missed anything, just go to PastorRick.com to listen online anytime or to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. If you'd like to have the complete audio for this great series called 40 Days of Love, contact us today. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you all 6 messages in their entirety on your choice of CD, USB thumb drive, or downloadable broadcast quality MP3s. Now you can take Rick's teaching to work, the gym, to the beach, wherever you go. When you contact us, be sure to ask for the audio series called 40 Days of Love. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with 2 R's in the middle, or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. There are only 2 days left to get your copy of this great study resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share a note from Dion with you, who listens to Daily Hope, and she came to faith in Jesus along with her husband. Isn't that wonderful? Here's what Dion wrote. Pastor Rick, a couple of years ago I would describe myself as a person who believed in God but definitely was not a Christian. My husband started listening to pastors on YouTube, and he started sending me your different videos, and you spoke my language. Your explanation about Jesus Christ described the person I was striving to be more like. I then found your podcast at Daily Hope and A Purpose-Driven Life, and even the Daniel Plan. Basically, I became a super fan. You always emphasize the need for a church home and small groups, and I began asking God to lead my husband and I to find the right church home. Well, the third church that we tried just happened to be a church where we attended a weekly AA meeting for over 3 years, and we loved the Sunday messages from the very first service. It felt like home. They have small groups like you talk about, and we jumped into attending the small group meetings weekly, and within 2 months, we both got baptized and are now official members of our church. I truly believe God allowed you to plant this seed in our souls. That led me to want a deeper relationship with God through Jesus. I'm now a Christian that's working to spread the love of Jesus to others. Thank you so much. I pray that you can continue being a vessel for others who seek Jesus. May God bless you, Dion. Well, wow. Dion, I am so encouraged to know that you and your husband became followers of Jesus. And it's always so exciting to hear how God uses our simple small steps of faith to make a lasting difference in our lives. You know, those of you who are listening right now, did you notice that Dion and her husband also got baptized and they joined a local church and they're part of a small group? Have you done that yet? If you haven't, I want to encourage you to do that. I hope that everybody listening here will find a church family, will get baptized, will join a church family, and get involved there. This is how we grow in the body of Christ. We need each other. We're better together.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.